singing 237. Tonight, as you guys can tell, I haven't done this in quite a while, so I'm kind of trying to remember how last time I did this. But anyways, I'd like to welcome everybody out tonight. As you guys know, they're calling for snow tonight, and my wife was informing me of all the information that's coming across the internet about how the teachers are all excited, and you know, but the trouble is we're not really going to have students tomorrow anyway, so you know, I wish it would blow off one more day, but but anyways, so there was a lady that made a comment. She was from up north Pennsylvania or somewhere where they have real snow, and they said and they made a statement. Someone made a statement online that I don't know what the big deal is about, you know, 1 to 3 inches or something. And somebody put back in there, "Welcome to Middle Tennessee." And so it is. But anyways, we'll pray that everybody has safe passage over the snowy time. And it's good to see everybody out tonight. And it's good to start off the year in church again. And it's good to start off the year with our church family, and it's good to see all of you, and we'd like to welcome everybody out. At this time, are we going to bring the, yes, I'd like to ask the deacons to come forward, and we'll be singing in the red books. Is that correct? Okay, in the white, 473, and what'd you say, 155? 155 in the red book. Everybody please stand. Brother Michael, you please ask the blessing over the offering, please.
I heard. anytime we stand to do anything, we covet your prayers very much. But with all this sinus and bronchitis stuff going around, we covet it even more tonight. So you please pray for us. I'm thankful we have a new year. We have a new door of opportunity open for us. I want to do more for the Lord this year than I have in the past. So you pray for us.
Lord, I know when you save me, you fill me with your Spirit, and I praise your holy name. But oh, precious Lord, to be a light that others see, your Holy Spirit must be shining on me. Lord, would you empty me of every selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee? Now shine down upon me and fill me anew in every way, Lord. Let me be more like you. When your light, Lord, is shining upon me, there's no hiding its wonderful glow. Neighbors and all my friends, when I'm in Jesus, then all others will know. Lord, will you empty me of every selfish thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee? Thou shine down upon thing that would hinder my sweet walk with thee. Thou shine down upon me and fill me anew in every way, Lord. Let me be more like you. Thou shine down upon me and fill in every way, Lord, let me be more like you. Walk the streets of golden, but I will. me up on high. I've never looked upon my Savior, but I will someday when all my life is over and Jesus calls me up on high. I've never looked upon my Savior, but I will someday. Yes, I will someday.
I didn't hear a single cough, and I sure did enjoy that. Thank you. Hey, and serving the Lord more this year means I get to hear you sing more. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, we're going to go to Psalms 23. So don't check out on me, all right? I know that's like political suicide for a pastor to turn there and it not be a funeral. But I got some help out of this chapter this week that at an angle that I just never really thought of looking at it, and just thought I'd share that with you this evening in Psalms chapter 23. Something that I think it was, I forget who, one of the guys who had in recently talked about memorizing scripture, and next Sunday, I'm just going to introduce a scripture for the week. If you've got one that maybe you would like, just you can message me. My phone number's in the bulletin, but I'll pick one each week. And if we do that every week, that's 52 verses you'll have done by time this year. Wouldn't it be cool at this time next year if somebody could get up and recite all 52 verses? No, I'm not going to pick ones that are, you know, 9 miles long. We'll try to get them to within the ability of anybody memorizing them. But wouldn't that be a good thing to do as a church? I've been in church, and then each week we'll start next week. We'll put it out there and see if anybody can recite it the following week. And just as a goal we work on together. I tell you what, that would be really cool as a church at the end. We could recite 52 verses together. Just something to think about. And because as you go through your daily life, the Bible will help us if you know when and where to apply it. And if you're like me, I don't have enough memorized, and certainly not Kermit by any stretch of the imagination. That man's got a lot of Bible memorized. But I do have things that come to my mind throughout the day that remind me, hey, you probably shouldn't do that, say that, or this is where your attitude needs to be, where the Holy Spirit can bring it. How many of you ever had the devil throw your past up in your face, inside your head? Am I the only one? Okay. Wouldn't it be great for God to be able to take something in the treasures of your mind and throw it up for good instead of bad? Right? You know, where he can, because the reason why the devil can throw up my past is because I put it in there. He's got ammunition in which to draw from. I've given him weapons that he can use that are already embedded in my head. But you can counter that by giving God something that he can pull out and use at the same time for good to offset the things that we don't want brought up, you know. He can also bring them up out of the treasures of our mind. So just something to think about that. We'll start next week. Let's look at this in Psalms 23. Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us, Lord, just tonight. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. Lord, oftentimes hear it at a funeral. But Lord, I just pray that you'd help us to dig a little bit deeper in it tonight, and that you would give us something to hold on to. Father, I just want to ask you to forgive us. Lord, we're constantly reminded, the world we live in, that we are broken people. Lord, there are pits and snares and traps and evil all around us. Lord, it's not like during the days with Israel, when they had their own society, their own people. Lord, you had them run out their enemies. There were strict guidelines that protected all of that. And Lord, today it seems like we're living in a free-for-all. Lord, that there's just so much around us that's opposite of what you want us to do, that walking in this world, just being out there in it, we get dirty. And Lord, I just pray that you would forgive us, that you'd help us to work hard on not letting it attach itself to us. Lord, that we would really, really covet times that we can just get away and be around church people and for fellowship and gleaning from the Word of God, and that you would just help us. Lord, I just ask you to forgive us and help us to live for you the way that we ought to. And I pray you'd help us with the Word tonight. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. And you guys know this. We'll just start off a little bit. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I circled that word shepherd just as a reminder that this verse is not for unsaved people. An unsaved person cannot claim Psalms chapter 23 because the Lord is not their shepherd. This only involves you and I. It only involves you if you are saved tonight. Then you can claim God as your shepherd. You can't claim him as your Savior. You can't claim him as your Father. And you certainly can't claim him as your shepherd. By acknowledging that that the Lord is your shepherd, you are, not only are you indicating that you're saved, you're also indicating this, that you're willing to be led, right? If the Lord is your shepherd, then you are saying that I understand I cannot do this on my own. I need advice. I need wisdom. I need direction from God. I need a, do you agree with me you need a Savior? Give me an amen if you agree with me you need a Savior. All right, if you need a Savior, the next step is, okay, after that, then what? Well, then that's when you need a shepherd. Because that shepherd's the person that comes alongside after that, after you're saved, and he's the one that helps you through life, helps you navigate the world that you live in, shows you where to go, and one of his jobs as a shepherd is to help you with the enemy. That's one of the jobs of a shepherd. See, we always look at this verse as this is something when you're dying, and to me it's just the opposite of that. Because I look at this saying, okay, that shepherd is put there. He's going to guide me. And today, if you ever need somebody to say, because what happens is the world will attach itself. Any story that you read in the Bible where a Christian backslid, it's because the world attached itself to that Christian. It became a parasite. David picked up a parasite. He picked up lust. He brought that home. And that lust multiplied like a parasite does, and it ended up causing him major problems. A good man, a godly man, living in a world. I mean, he was living next door to somebody who obviously didn't have a whole lot of worry about modesty, because she was bathing in an area where other people could see her. Okay, he's just out there living in the world, and at that moment, that parasite attached itself to David. And David, and then that thing began to multiply, and he ended up messing up. Well, that's like us all the time. And here's something about sheep and goats. They are very, very, very prone to parasites. You know, I mean, they will get it in a heartbeat. If where they're grazing is where other animals have been and it's not been properly taken care of, they can pick it up in a heartbeat. Well, guess what? You and I are very prone to the parasites of worldliness in this world that we live in. Right, and we've got to pay attention to that, because we can be susceptible to it just like sheep are. So it says, "The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want." And then I want to leave what's in between here for just a few minutes, and I want to go right to verse 4. All right, so he's talking about the shepherd. It's talking about you know, what he can do for you. And it says in verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, if the Lord is your shepherd," and what is he supposed to do? He's guiding you, right? He's leading you. If he's leading you, the question is, what are you doing in the valley of the shadow of death if he's leading you, right? I mean, if he's the one that's guiding you, how did you end up in the valley of the shadow of death? Well, what we have to understand, although we live in a toxic world, and although we know that there is an enemy out there who wants us to fail, all right, even in the presence of God, the devil will try. For instance, remember the story of Peter, okay? Jesus told him, "You're going to deny me." And what did he say? He said, "Satan desires to sift you like wheat." Jesus knew that on that night, while he's being crucified, Satan was busy. Well, what was one thing we knew he was doing that night? One, he entered into Judas, right? But not only did he enter into Judas, he also had the time and the ability to stop by Peter and put a little pressure there. That lets you know the enemy is very busy. He had a lot to do that night. He actually entered the body of Judas, okay? I mean, it said that he physically did that. While he was doing that, whether he did it or he had one of his cronies do it, he made sure he stopped by Peter and put pressure on Peter. When Peter denied Christ, he did so in the presence of the enemy, putting pressure on what God said was already going to happen. Now, Jesus knew, was Jesus still with Peter while he was going through the valley of the shadow of death? When we think about the valley of the shadow of death, we always think about dying, but it's not talking about just dying. What's a shadow? You know, we always think about scary movies and things like that, and things that lurk in the shadows. There's things in the shadows that bother us. Do you know what lurks in the shadows in the valley of the shadow of death? It's the evil one. They don't like the light. Satan does not hang out in the light. Okay? He doesn't hang out around the Word of God. He doesn't hang out in the presence of God. He doesn't want to be there, right? He likes the shadows. He likes the darkness of your mind. He likes the recesses where you've given him opportunity to hang out in a place to hide. He'll hide in your thoughts. He'll hide in inside your mind. He'll hide inside of the lust of the flesh, and that doesn't mean always immorality. It could just be a love for the world, the desires that we have that don't line up with the Bible, the things that we've left around that we haven't taken care of. Those are the places he'll hide. See, there was a hiding place in Peter's heart, a place that Satan can go that was opposite of the light that was in him, a place where he had a foothold so at the right time he could launch that attack, and Peter wasn't ready for it. When I see this, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I think about everything I'm afraid of. What about the times that you fail? You ever have a fear of failing? You have a fear of failing. Maybe you've wanted to start a business and you've never done it because you're afraid that you can't get it off the ground. But you know what I'm afraid of? I'm afraid of failing at something I've already asked God to forgive me of. I'm afraid of that. Do you know why? Because I have visited that place often. I have oftentimes said to God, I won't do it again. I won't think that again. I won't say that again. I won't act that way again. I won't be like that. I'm going to change. We've always said that. We've tried to mean it. We put all kinds of effort behind it. We go to the altar. We tell God sorry. And then you get past that. But you know there's that place where you've tripped before. You know there's that place that the devil knows there's a weakness in who you are. And he will exploit that any chance he can. I'm afraid of that. I mean, that's one of those shadows that's in the valley of death that lurks out there, you know, that wants to see you fall, that wants to see you disappoint, Lord, who delights. There is an enemy out there who delights when you mess up. I mean, he flaunts it to God just like he would with Job. That's his goal, you know, and they lurk out and they capitalize on our weaknesses. The weaknesses, unfortunately, that's why young people, listen, I know I've said it 100 times. If you listen to one thing, do not be very careful where you give the devil a crack in your life, because I promise you, he'll never forget it. Once he realizes he can get in that door, he will flat wear that out. And he will try that, and he'll try that, and he'll try that 100 times, knowing he's got in there before. Knowing that you left a crack in there before. That's the reason why, especially in years gone by, preachers would preach hellfire and brimstone, don't do this and don't do that. It wasn't an effort to, like, control your life. It's more of an effort to say, listen, there is an active enemy out there that will exploit any weakness you have. I remember Brother Greg telling me something his dad told him about swearing or dipping or things like that. He said, listen, it's not that those things will send you to hell, but it is a weakness. And he said, never let anybody know that you have a weakness, because it'll be exploited in you. And what you don't want to do is to ever give the devil an opportunity out of weakness in your life. Well, when you're walking through this valley of the shadow of death, listen to what it says. I will fear no. It doesn't say sickness. So he's not talking about, well, finding out I'm sick and I'm going to die, so I'm going to use this verse as comfort. We use that, but if it said I will fear no, then it should say sickness. It doesn't say that. What does it say? He will not fear in a valley of the shadow of death. What does he say he will not fear? Evil, right? That's what he said he wouldn't fear. It's not like, see, in my mind, I always looked at this as, man, you know, don't be afraid when you're about to die. Then I looked at that word and said, now, wait a minute. Why is he using that word and he's not using the word sickness? Why isn't he using the word death? The day though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear not dying. It doesn't say that. He's saying, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That means the things in my life, the places in my life, the things that would, everybody in this room has something inside that you're afraid of. Something that the devil can exploit if he wants to. It can be your past. It could be something that maybe nobody else knows. It could be a personal weakness that you just can't get hold of. It could be whatever it is. There's something that you know that if you're presented with that, it's going to cause you problems. It's going to make you feel uncomfortable. Those are those areas where the devil says, I can get him here, right? You know, that if I could just get him in this spot, then I know I can get him at this moment. And he likes, that's the reason why it says this, that the devil, as a roaring lion, he looks to see who he can devour. You're going to get devoured. If that devouring happens, it's going to be in the valley of the shadow of death. That's where oftentimes our mind will forget who's with us in the valley, because guess who led you there? Your shepherd. He's not going to lead you. What's the rod and staff for? You know, I've tried to, you ever heard this story before, that the shepherd breaks the leg of the lamb? I was thinking about that today, and I don't know if I can substantiate that. I can tell you this, with current vet bills, you do not want to break anything's leg. You know? And then after that, that animal becomes a major liability because it cannot walk. You know, I thought another good thing of that rod and staff is, it's what he uses against the enemy. I have no way I can fight off the devil. But God does have something he can fight off the devil with, because he's God, right? I mean, he can launch an attack on the evil one. I can't. And that not only is he guiding me there, but he has the ability to run the lion off. He has the ability to chase the bear. I mean, whatever's coming that way towards me, whatever spot where I'm about ready to step in and the devil's going to exploit that God can run the devil off. The devil doesn't want to hang around God. He can run him off. You know, when I was working on this, I heard a song, and in the song it stated this statement about this, which made me think about having the fact that evil, it's yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The things that I fear, the things that I'm afraid of, those evil spirits, behind every sin there's an enemy, there's an evil spirit behind every one of those. Those evil spirits that I'm afraid of, depression, anxiety, you name it, those spirits that I'm afraid of are afraid of him. Think about that. What I'm afraid of, they're afraid of him. So what do I have to worry about? No, I cannot fight. You know, especially today, depression has gripped Christianity. Anxiety is a major deal. Sin is starting to run in church where it didn't used to, and cause problems that it didn't. The things of the world are now becoming our problems. Well, here's the thing. The areas that I'm afraid of, the temptation, the we all beat up Adam and Eve, right? Because Adam and Eve took the apple. We all beat them up. We all give them. How many times during the day do you eat the apple? See, that's doing anything you know you shouldn't do, but you do it anyway. You're repeating the Garden of Eden all over again. Don't do that, because this is the consequences. Don't be bitter. Don't do this. Don't think that. Don't put that garbage in your head. Don't do these things. We do it anyway. Just like that, there's the devil dangling that right in front of you, saying, hey, you need this. Hey, you have the right to feel this way. Hey, you know, and he's putting that temptation out there, just like with Adam and Eve. We reach up there and we grab it and we repeat that. Those things that if it was given to you right now, you would not have the ability, or because you fell there so many times, you're liable to go right down that rabbit hole all over again. Those things were afraid of. The evil that's behind that is afraid of God. So then if they're afraid of God, all I need to do is get to God. That's it. And then I don't have to worry about that. There's no need to me to be afraid, because the things that are chasing me, do you believe the devil can chase you? You believe that's a biblical analogy of the evil one, that he can chase you? When he's chasing you, do you know the only safe place you can get is to God? Because once you get there, they're afraid of him, Greg. I mean, they're not going to hang out there. They're gonna go the other direction. The second you take your problem to God, they're gone. Because they are literally afraid of him. Remember that story when they were going to cast out of the maniac of Gadara, and they said, why do you torment us behind before our time? And they said, can you have mercy on us and send us into the pigs? Do you know why? They were afraid of him. Immediately afraid of him. The things I'm afraid of, they're afraid of him. So that's why I can walk in the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me. It says this, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, if that rod and staff was strictly there to punish you, so to speak, and I don't know if you could attach the word comfort there as easy, but when I see that shepherd standing there with that, I'm just reminded of the fact that nobody next to him is going to mess with you, that evil has to go. Those thoughts have to leave you. That, how do you stop temptation? Now, because the devil is very smart, he does something because you've taught him to do it. So, Greg, what if the devil tempts you and you do it the first time? And then you go to church and you hear a message and you get a little stronger and you tell the devil three times no. And then you fall again. The devil's no dummy. He's going to remember that. And now you can go to another revival and get really brave and say, I'm never doing that again. And you may make it to number 10. The more you fail after a confession at that altar, the stronger the devil's going to get. Now, I know that's a weird statement, but you've got to listen to this. Because you've taught him. All it takes is perseverance on his point, and sooner or later, you're going to crack. That's what you've taught him. You've taught him, keep coming back. You've taught them empty promises. I'm not going to do that again. All it does is make him stronger, because he knows. I just can't. I just don't let up. Just stay on him. He's going to do it. You get back out there, you wait. I know he's feeling strong. He just got out of a four-day revival. Hang on him. We've seen this before. All of a sudden got a little dose of Jesus. He's going to be faithful for a few weeks. He'll let up. Then you go get him. Because we taught him that. But then there's our shepherd standing there, saying, Dave, just get to me. You get to me and you stay with me. How do you stop temptation? You got to stop it. I mean, aren't you tired of hearing it in your head over and over and over and over again? You know when it runs? When you get that to you, you get next to your shepherd. Okay, you cannot be in the world and next to your shepherd at the same time. Can't do it. You stay next to him. That's the reason why we're careful. We ought to be careful what we think about, what we hear, what we say, what we do, where we go. You know, because you don't want to give him any heads up there. Now look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table after my enemy leaves. Is that what it says? What's it say? He says, thou preparest a table in the presence of mine enemy. All right, so you're in that valley, okay? Now, you know, on that, by the way, a smart enemy will never attack you on a mountain. Why would not the enemy attack you on a mountain? If you're on a mountaintop, why would not the devil try to go after you up there? No advantage point. You know, you're up there looking down on your problem. That's not the place that you're going to get attacked. It's going to be in the valley. It's going to be going home after a good day in church and then a massive argument happened at your house. You know why I can tell you? Because I'm a human being. I'm married and it's been 30 years. Amen. You know, and you think, man, this is going to be a great week. Man, I just feel good spiritually. I can do this. Devil, watch out. Then all of a sudden, boom, man, you're head first in that valley. Like, whoa, what just happened here? Now you're in a spot where he can get you. He doesn't launch an attack while you're on the mountain. It's always in the valley that he does that, because then he's got the advantage over you, because that's where the scary things hang out. But Jesus said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because I'm a good Christian? Nope. Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, that word of God, it comforts me. Then it says this, during that valley, in the presence of the devil trying to launch that attack on you, he will cause you to sit down in the presence of your enemies. He will set a banquet table in the presence of all of that chaos and cause you to be at peace, even though there's scary things right out there. That is pretty cool. To know that that's the benefit. See, the world doesn't have that. The world just, they're just sitting ducks to what the devil can do with them. Me, I have a chance because I have God. I have a shepherd. Okay? And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I can fear no evil. I don't have to be afraid of messing up tomorrow. I mean, even something stupid like traffic. I said, in Africa, I got really used to blowing my horn. That's like a survival mode over there, right? You know, coming over here, I mean, it's like, you know, my word, and I hope it's never one of you. I try to look and make sure it's not a church member, right? I get behind that little old lady doing 10 miles an hour. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, somebody take her license. You know? And I'm saying, okay, it's no big deal. It's really not. And I just find myself trying to get so close I can read her license plate and the year her car's made. And I can feel that getting inside of me. And I say, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to sit there. I'm going to be patient. She's somebody's grandmother. She might even be my mother out there, right? Except she can't drive anymore, so I don't have to worry about that. But she's been guilty of that. And I'm thinking, and I start to get aggravated, and I start to get upset, and I know it's probably, and I say, okay, I'm not going to give her a dirty look, or I'm not going to blow the horn when I go by. And I tell myself that, and sure enough, something reaches out and smashes that horn. I'm like, who did that? You know, now I'm telling you my journey. That's over. But you know, that's everything inside of me is evil, and if I'm not careful, the devil will take all of that out and he will show my humanity in a second. In a second. You know, I've actually sat in the car and prayed and said, God, I need to return this at Walmart. I know it's going to happen. I'm going to get a manager who doesn't care. It's probably the devil. You know? And I said, Lord, please help me. Watch my mouth. Now, I'm going to give you a little secret about me. You can tell when I'm starting to get worked up, my hand shakes, and I cannot stop it. All right? And once I see that twitching, I know we're about ready to go to meltdown zone. You know? I know that pretty soon I am going to be in a spot that I am just going to let it fly, which is not something I should do. I can feel it. I can feel that, and the devil's saying, you think you're going to change. You think you're actually going to do the high? No, you won't. You've done this so many times. It's almost not even fun anymore. You're not even something I need to work at, because you're just going to blow it anyway. Well, in that moment when it says that In the presence of mine enemies, I will fear no evil. Then I don't need to fear messing up if I am with him. And if I'm with him, obviously, if he's guiding me, it's not going to be my mouth running. It ought to be his mouth running. If he's leading me, it ought to be his thoughts running the show, not my thoughts running the show. Therefore, in the presence of all that, I can sit down and he will prepare me a table and I can eat in the presence of, what's an enemy? Why, isn't it weird that it says in the presence of mine enemies? That can't be sickness. That's life. That in the presence of any everything that would like to see me fail, in that very presence, I can sit down. He'll prepare me a table in the presence of mine enemies. And then I look at Psalms a little bit different. It's not a chapter for dying. It is 100% a chapter for living. Then you go back to the beginning of it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Do you know some of the best pasture land around here is going to be in a valley? You go out in Montana, you're not going to see a whole lot of pastures up on a mountain. It's going to be over here is a big mountain, and over here is a big mountain, and in between is this flat ground. And what do you call that? You call that a valley, right? And in that valley is some of the greenest grass you will ever find. Why? Because after the darkness, after a storm comes through that valley, after the waters, all in a valley, you're always going to have some sort of river going through there, right? And then what happens in a storm? That river begins to overflow. That's the problems of your life. When a river overflows, do you know what it does? It then takes all of that sediment that's in the river and it spreads it out into the ground. And after the storm goes away, that ground is as fertile as you can imagine, and then that grass begins to grow. It's things that I learned in the valley that cause that green grass to be there, that after it goes away, I can then go to that green grass and I can get stronger because of that. So he leads you to green pastures, you know, besides still waters. You don't take a sheep to a river that's coming out of the mountains that's doing 100 miles an hour. You want to find one that's after the flood and it's just gently flowing. Well, that's after the storm. Listen, some of the greatest moments, think about this, I'm going to close with this, think about this. Tomorrow, everybody in this room will be tempted to do something. You want a real treat? Choose to do right tomorrow. And immediately that green grass will come out. Immediately tomorrow, when you got to walk through that valley of the shadow, you got to go back out there in that world today, and there's all these things that have normally tripped you up throughout a day, causes you to stray away from God, and they're going to be out there tomorrow just like they always are, and off you go, you got to navigate that. Man, you tell you something you can give God that actually means something tomorrow? When he tempts you, say no, run to the shepherd. And there is no greater feeling in the world than actually winning one from him. Saying, you know what? I didn't do it. I actually got victory then. I actually won one for the team. I actually kept my thoughts where they needed to be. I shut my mouth. I didn't think that. I didn't say that. I didn't get angry. I didn't have a bad attitude. Man, it was tough. I saw my fingers start to shake. We were going to meltdown zone. But man, I ran to the shepherd. And I actually, we won one. Do you know you can still win? Do you know you don't have to give in to him? You can sit down at that banquet table in the presence of your enemy and say, not today. You may, maybe tomorrow, but right now, I am going to enjoy the fellowship of my shepherd. I'm going to stay with him. It's almost like looking at the devil and going, na, 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 na. You can't get me. I'm at home plate. I'm safe. I'm with the shepherd. So many times, he's so used to us walking through that valley with zero sight of our shepherd, constantly afraid, sitting ducks, weak prey, uneasy target. But tomorrow when you go out there, you are not alone. Why? The Lord is your shepherd. And yes, you have to walk in the valley of the shadow of death, but you can fear no evil. For his rod and his staff, they'll comfort you. And he will prepare you a table in the presence of any problem you have, any weakness in your flesh, any chink in your armor. If you run to him, you know, the things that I'm afraid of, they're afraid of him. And when they see him, they'll chase you. Have you ever been chased by the devil? What does it mean to be chased by the devil? If you had to describe that, what is that? It's that no matter where you go, he is right behind you. Right? Often that happens when you make a commitment to God that he wants to then show God that you have no intentions of keeping. And he'll chase you. He can only chase you as far as your shepherd. And then once he sees him, he's got to go. That's as far. Now, it'll be over hill and over dale for sure. That's our fault. You know, when we walk through that, if he is leading us through the valley of the shadow of death, why would we ever be afraid? It's because we get our eyes off. It's never the shepherd that wanders. It's always the sheep that wanders. It's the sheep that gets distracted in the valley and doesn't know where the shepherd is. Doesn't know where to run when that enemy is after them. You need to know, hey, and it would be better, you don't want to be over here, right? Way out here on the edge of the world trying to grab a little bit of that green grass and your shepherd be over there where Sean is, and all of a sudden you see him and you think, I cannot close that gap fast enough. He'll get me. But if we stay right over here where he's going to make sure I have, what does he say? The Lord is my shepherd, what? I shall not want. Why would you want to be anywhere except next to him when he is going to provide everything you need? If you're right here, short walk to the shepherd, I run over right next to him, stand right next to him and say, I am okay here. He cannot get me here. This is where I'm thinking about him. My thoughts are on him. My heart belongs to him. I'm walking with him. I have a short account of sin. This is where I'm safe. And when I thought about that, I thought, man, I'm not going to look at this chapter again the same way. It's not just a funeral chapter. Because if it was, it would be, say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear not dying. I will fear not sickness. Man, it's also for living. And we do not have to fear any valley. And those valleys can be very productive in our life tomorrow. It can be a very productive time, especially if during that time we run to the shepherd. Do you know what you can also teach the devil? You can also teach the devil that he's wasting his time. You know how you do that? You gotta win a couple. You gotta prove them wrong. You got it. Do you think the devil ever says to any of his demons, or we won't use that word because it's not biblical, evil spirit. Do you think the devil ever says to any of his evil spirits, don't mess with Greg. Don't mess with him today. He's a Bible guy. He actually meant what he said, and he's living for the Lord. And I mean, you may get him, but you're going to have to work awful hard. Don't go after Waylon and I'm just kidding. Do you ever think the devil ever says, To his demons, listen, don't waste your time. I bet you he'd say this. Don't bother with Billy Mitchell. He ain't budging. Go after this one. Still hasn't learned where a shepherd is. We can teach him another lesson. That it's a wasted effort. Because we're going to stay with him. Where we're safe. Right next to the shepherd. Let's stand if you would, and then we'll pray. Brother Greg, if you'll lead us in prayer, and we'll be back here on Wednesday. We're back in Romans. It'd be good to keep going down that journey. And thank you for coming tonight, Brother Greg, if you'd close us in prayer.